I don't know whether I'm going to report or not. I think we just got a, this okay. Oh, okay. Just giving the NHLS time to settle. We will follow the normal, the normal processes. I think we are here today. This is the process of us preparing for our BRRR, for our entities to submit their APP and strategy plan, which is why NHLS is here today. But hoping that we will, the presentation will empower us, because among other things, entities are to ensure that the committee, parliament, through the committee of health, we're talking about the health sector now, then being empowered in, as we are conducting our oversight. On behalf of the committee, I thought, as much as I've never bounced that with the committee members, as in our next program of oversight, it's important that we also visit our entities. Because if that does not happen, they will think that we only see them when they call us in front of them. But we will have to, because at the end of the day, when things fall apart, in every entity, it is this committee that is expected on behalf of Parliament to respond and react on them. So, as you will be doing your presentation, leaving after that, after some interaction, you must be alive to the fact that we will at some point. We don't know now. We have to visit your offices. Because oversight is not only about listening to you making the presentation, but it's also being there in the cold face of the National Health Laboratory Services. We are not going to reflect now on what we encountered in one of the provinces that we visited, in terms of where you have got a unit in that province, in that particular institution, about the staff and what we saw in the National Health Laboratory Service. You will wait. As time goes by, when we follow our processes in terms of parliamentary report, we'll reflect and we'll make recommendations. And I do think that it will be important. I've been holding my horses because it was not a healthy interaction with the staff in that institution, in that province around the National Health Laboratory Service. And management did say that, well, unfortunately, they are not solemnly under our management. We don't control them. It's something that we know, that's obvious. But I think we are here to listening to what you are then going to present to us. Having said that, we will then go into the introduction. I will introduce members will introduce themselves. Those that are visitors, the house rules are, phones are on silent, photos are not taken, questions are not asked by guests. It's only members that ask questions to the presenters. You use your mic so that we record who is here. We have been joined by the department also, so the department knows what are the rules, the house rules. Having said that, I'm Linda Latunja, I'm the chairperson of the portfolio committee on health. Next to me is Lucas Machalamba, who is the head of the secretariat in the portfolio committee. At the back, it's Ms. Yesterday I'm told I made a mistake. My apologies. It's Ms. Ngomane Lindokuhle, who is our contact advisor. Next to her is Mr. Zobel, who is part of the research. At the back is Moses Mwabe, who is also part of the research team. At the extreme end, against the wall, is Ms. Mbali Makubani, who is our committee assistant. I will then hand over to members. I thought I gave members the time to...
Ilunga la committee ya se parliament ezimpilo ngiyabona.
Good morning everyone, my name is Nontlantla Ngubendaba, a member of the portfolio committee. Thank you.
Good morning, Goeiemôre Sambanani. My name is Heinrich Holmink, I'm a member of the committee.
Morning, Chair. Morning, everyone. My name is Lamalan Khosa, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Borebi Nkosi. I'm with the National Department of Health.
Good morning,
everyone. My name is Minister
of Health. Good morning, members. My name is Cindy Lesodaba from National Department of Health.
Morning, Chair Makua from Ministry of Health.
Good morning, I'm Siba from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Gentleman at the back.
My name is Morgan Day.
Who's the mic, sir? And you tell us where you're from.
Morgan Day, I'm from the media.
Which media house?
The Wire Services.
No, the reason that we ask is that at least we must know who is here from where. So if you say media, there are 120 media houses in this country, so we must know which media house for record purposes. Over to you, Ms. Mukhale.
Good morning. My name is Joyce Mukhale. I'm the CEO of the National Health Laboratory Service.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Khumbuzo Zulu, Chief Financial Officer at NHLS.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Gregory Hussey. I'm actually from the University of Cape Town, but I'm also the Deputy Chairperson of the NHLS Board. And let me just thank you and your committee for having us here to do the presentation. Thanks very much.
Ms. Mukhale, will hand over to you. Who's going to do what? How are you going to structure your presentation? Depends on you. So we'll hand over to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you again for the opportunity. We will share the presentation between me and the CFO. I will be starting the presentation. The purpose, as outlined on the slide, is really to share with members the achievement of the NHLS during the past financial year, as outlined in our annual report 2015-16. I will follow the structure as outlined there. Now, National Health Laboratory Service is a public entity laboratory service with approximately 288 laboratories across 9 provinces of South Africa. We excluding the depots where we just collect samples and conduct limited tests. We serve approximately 80% of the South African population. I will talk about the background of that slide later. Our vision, Chair, is to be South Africa's Center of Excellence for Innovative Laboratory Medicine. And our mission is to provide quality, affordable and sustainable health laboratory medicine, provide training for health science education, and undertake innovative and relevant research. Our values, we talk about caring, unity of purpose, service excellence, transformation, innovation, and integrity. The picture there shows the day we were launching our vision, mission, and values for the financial year 2016-2017. I won't go into detail, but we are guided by the legal mandates, the Constitution of South Africa, the National Health Act 2003, and our National Health Laboratory Services Act. I may just add that we're waiting for the new Health Laboratory Service Act as amended and as introduced in the National Assembly. So we are waiting for those changes, just for members to know that we anxiously waiting. And of course, we know NAPISA is coming. That will affect the NICD, NCR, and NIO, who are currently falling under the NHLS as per 2000 Act. On governance, Chairperson, we fall as management under the board as per Section 49 of the Public Finance Management Act. We also want to indicate that the board has got 7 subcommittees, and the board is the one that directs, lead, and actually ensure corporate governance of the organization. Chairperson, on strategic goals, I just want to touch that we are working on the goals as indicated there. On sound governance, we have an unqualified audit just to show we're doing our best, that we actually achieve the goals. On improvement of stakeholder relations, I'm happy to say that this management, which is fairly new, is focused on good working relations with its clients, especially those in the provinces. And to that effect, we have already visited almost all provinces. We know the head of departments by name. We will be meeting for the first time Dr. Likalakala in the Northwest next week. Otherwise, the rest of them, we have visited most of them more than twice, including here in the Western Cape. Last week, we were with Dr. Mutawi in the Free State, visiting him for the third time. So our emphasis is on improving stakeholder relations. On adequate, competent, and human capital, I'll say without any fear of contradiction that the organization is stabilized. We still have pockets here and there, but when you look at numbers, which affect
we are stabilized. Nobody is resigning unnecessarily because of certain conditions. On performance-driven processes and systems, Chair, I'm happy to indicate that we have appointed a new CIO as an example of these processes and systems. She's a young woman who has already started putting in process the servers that were very old. She has already overhauled them, so we are improving the state-of-the-art laboratories. Chairperson, next year I'll bring you pictures of what we are doing on the ground. The laboratory in Madualeni, which was literally looking like a shed, and now it's renovated. The Victoria Laboratory in KwaZulu-Natal. So I'll just bring evidence, but we're doing our best there. The picture that you saw under indicating the laboratories we serve, that is the laboratory in Nelson Mandela Academic Hospital when we were putting our Roche viral load equipment at 8800 for to speed up the increased viral load volume. So we are walking the talk on state-of-art labs. Accessible laboratory or pathology service footprint, we are doing our best to ensure that we are actually where we needed, district hospital, provincial academic, etc. International practice laboratory medicine, it is our goal to benchmark with the best in the world, because Africa, it's a bit, there's no competition in Africa. I say it with humility. So we are visiting, we've just been to Atlanta, Georgia, where we visited laboratories like Quest, which is a private laboratory with a turnover of $100 billion per year, but employing over 44,000 employees. Those are the laboratories that we want to benchmark with so we can stretch ourselves to the highest quality that can be. Academic excellence, Chair, I will allude to the PathRed conference, amongst other things. So this is just to share that the goals are not just there for, you know, we want to realize them. Now, coming to the important features or salient features for this report, I'm very happy to say I was permanently appointed in September 2015 because I came in as an interim CEO, and to that I thank the board of the NHLS for giving me the opportunity. The new board itself, the majority of members were appointed during the financial year that we took, we're reporting under by the Minister of Health. Key positions at executive and senior management levels. Chairperson, we don't have anybody acting anymore. We have six area managers for the six areas in the country. They are there, they are fully appointed. We have all four executive managers. Money allowing will all come one day just for the committee to see the other two executive managers as well. We have adjusted the salaries for A to C bands. Just to maybe explain briefly, the NHLS was still on the 2012 salary scale when we came in. So the board had really approved that this be changed, and this has finally taken place in the financial year 2015-16. The staff complement grew by 4.2% from 6.693 to 6.987. Now, this growth, Chairperson, is actually reflecting the numbers we lost. As we know, from 2013-14, people were living in large numbers. So we were actually replacing. The number of pathologists grew by 10.3% from 194 to 214. Technologies from 1,329 to 1,364, a 2.6%. technicians 13%, medical scientists grew by 13% also. We have issued a total of 103 biomedical scholarships. Chairperson, I must indicate, reflecting on my previous presentation here, where the chair wanted to know the breakdown as to which students are we supporting, rural or urban. I must indicate upfront that by the time we started working, the plans were already approved. So it's a balance. With the report that I'm presenting does not reflect my strategy per se. So we haven't really started to implement the chairman's remarks, the chairman's input on this 103. As I'm talking now, 2016-17, we are working, we are trying our best to implement what was recommended here. In other words, if we are saying, if there are no students, if there are no technologists in a certain area, let me just say Kroonstad. We're saying, let's get students around Kroonstad Laboratory. Give them bursaries so that when they qualify, they'll come back and work in that local area. That's what we are doing now. There were also bursaries awarded to the local the employees of the NHLS. About 90 bursaries were awarded. There is an area of improvement also here, because one found a skewed allocation where people at head office were the ones who were benefiting, and we want to ensure equitable distribution of bursaries across the country. On finances, Chairperson, I'm happy to say that we have increased our surplus from 180 to 279 million, which is almost 100 million more. You will recall that we had a loss in 2013-14. So by 14-15, we started to realize the surplus, and we have improved on that. This is despite the implementation of new salary scales, which took a lot from us in terms of resources. Revenue grew from 5.7 billion to 6.4 billion. And revenue from provincial departments grew by the growth of the 5.7 to 6.4. It's actually attributable to the provincial department's contribution of 13%. So the 13% is for the growth of the revenue. Production costs, including direct labor and materials, also grew from 4.2 billion to 4.8 billion. This is equated to a 14% increase, and the contributing factors are, number one, volume, the price increase and fluctuations in our exchange, in the exchange rate. Labor constituted 37% of total revenue compared to 35% in the previous financial year. Chairperson, in general and support, the increase was very minimal, 0.75%, which is what we want. It's in line with our strategy that the support should not be more than operations or production services. It's support. It should remain as support. The assets increased by 12%. I can just indicate that this is as a result of taking over services that were given to, I can call it consultants for lack of better word, where computers were owned by a company, where cars were leased, where we're taking those, we bought ours, they are our assets now. The closing bank account balance ended at 739 million, an improvement from last year of 651 million. Chairperson, other notable achievements was the award that we received from the European Quality Award in the healthcare sphere category
hosted by the Swiss Institute for Quality Standards. I went to receive that award from Montreal, Switzerland. I can indicate that we were the only African nominated laboratory in this year. NHLS hosted the first NHLS pathology research and development, the PathRED that I alluded to. This was the first of its kind and will continue to have such. The idea is to empower the unknown but aspiring researchers. So we're opening the door to the, you know, you name it, technologists, junior scientists. We are saying unless we give them the opportunity, they will remain unknown. Now, the SAVP of South African Vaccine Production Unit, the anti-venom producer, is continuing to deliver excellent results as South African sole producer of anti-venom. The achievements continue, Chairperson. There was a 38% increase in viral load tests compared to the previous year. I think this talks to the increase of the number of staff. We needed staff to support the work. So there is a proportional increase of production staff and the volumes as attested by the numbers we have here. So the total number, it's at 3. I'll say we analyzed 3.7 million viral load tests in 2015-16. It's more than 4 million now as I speak. Five laboratories have been upscaled to the newer high throughput COBAS 6800 and 8800, the one that is at, as an example, at Nelson Mandela Academic Hospital. We continue in, Chairperson, on the viral load upscaling to identify laboratories in need over and above the 16 we have in the country. We want to start to decentralize more to improve on turnaround times, amongst other things. Due to large volumes of HIV viral loads, the PCR tests and related, NHLS revenue increased by a billion, 2015-16. The TRACARE laboratory information system was rolled out in NHLS laboratories. This is just a picture of us in Switzerland. I was with the two other winners in other categories, not at. Chairperson, I'll go to operational highlights. This is just a what's name? I'll say a graphic or what do you call this? Graphic illustration of the increase of in volumes. You can see that from 2013-14, there is really a serious increase of it's almost spiraling out of control of tests. But this is supported by the policies of the country where we need to get rid of TB and address HIV. And the following slide actually alludes to what I've just said. You see the viral load being contributing to the highest increase, followed by gene effect. And the decline in CD4 is in line with the policy of the country. So those two are the major ones that are showing a remarkable increase, though there is increase in TB culture as well as cytology, just lower volume. Chairperson, on the, just to show what is happening in the country, we have holding the leading, followed by KwaZulu-Natal. This is volumes and then revenue, but revenue mostly because sometimes KwaZulu-Natal will get more volumes but lower revenue compared to Gauteng. So the tax mix, the test mix will determine the revenue there, but the two provinces are really the leading provinces, followed by Western Cape and then Eastern Cape, etc. Chairperson, I'm happy to say that
during the reporting period, we have remarkably reduced the creditors' liability. I need to emphasize here that this is due to efficiencies and nothing else, because the money owed, the bulk, 4 billion, is still out there. Now, all we did was to focus on cost containment, that with whatever we receive, we actually ensure that there is efficiency at all levels, no wastages. That's why we were able to improve the salary, at the same time reduce the debt. I just want to share with you the following slide, because the 79 days were as at June 2016, this financial year, the slide that showed there. Now, to date, that's September, ending September, we are at 42 days. Chairperson, it is my strategic intent that we actually work on the days that are promulgated by the National Treasury. If they say 30 days, NHLS will make it 30 days. If they say 20-something days, like somebody has whispered, we will make it those days. So we have made strides there. On the program performance, Chairperson, let me apologize upfront that the APP 2015-16 was not an ideal APP. I think I've indicated it when I came to table the 2016-17 strategy. We just had to make do with what we found. It's not an ideal APP. So to that effect, I have even cut, when it comes to NIO, it was activities, and it will be a waste of time to this house to really outline activities, things that I know that they are not objectives. So we have tried, and Chairperson, allow me maybe to just summarize those that are achieved, or maybe focus on those that are not achieved. I think I would rather do that. Otherwise, it's not fair to the House, unless if the Chairperson would like me to go line by line, I can still do that. But I'm just saying it's not something we are proud to report. There were errors identified. We tried as management to correct this. Unfortunately, the corrected or the amended APP fell outside the recommendation period, so the minister did not recommend, did not approve it, so we could not. So on the non-achieved KPIs, it was on the average turnaround time for recruitment of staff. We are still struggling there. It's an area of improvement needed. Otherwise, we got an unqualified audit under finances. At NICD, they did not achieve we did not manage to achieve to get the epidemiologists, the number of epidemiologists that we wanted. We wanted 5 when we could only appoint 4 at the end of March 2016. So we failed to achieve them. Chairperson, under NICD again, there was an attempt to establish an electronic system for notifiable diseases. That did not take place. It's still a work in progress. And there was also an attempt or a will to train field epidemiologists, the number of field epidemiologists. The number envisaged also did not materialize. Instead of 8, we only achieved 50%, that is 4. Chairperson, under NIO, what was not achieved was the number of occupational health and safety services to prevent occupational disease and injury for motor workers, etc. Number of OHS assessments conducted. The target, annual target was 31. We fell short and only achieved 24. On the percentage of number of laboratory tests performed, our target was 13,000. We only managed 10,135, so we did not achieve that one. The other target that was not achieved was the number of OHS or occupational health safety best practice reports completed. You can see how bad things were. There was actually no target, etc. The following one also no target set. As indicated, I've taken out a lot of activities, so otherwise it would have been several pages. Program 3, I don't know if I've lost members, I've skipped through several slides. But the other area not achieved is consultation with international and regional experts on monitoring and evaluation of population-based cancer registry. That was not achieved for the reasons cited. Consultation with the Department of Health and Department of Home Affairs regarding reporting of cancer mortality data to National Cancer Registry was also not achieved. Chairperson, the number of medical scientists who completed training, the target was 6, only 1 was therefore not achieved as a target. The last one not achieved was the number of students supervised. That one was achieved. It was the coding training courses per year for specialist coders not achieved. These are activities, Chairperson, and the 1617 has strived to ensure that we actually measure not activities, but that objective. Chairperson, I'm moving to program 4, which is laboratory services. Under laboratory service, we had KPIs or annual targets that were completely unrealistic. I'm aware that on our annual report, we cited a lack of resources for not achieving. That is partially true because the 15-16 financial year, we only managed to recoup the number of staff that had left the organization at the later part of that financial year. It's partially true, but my own analysis says the targets were not realistic at that time, and that's what I'm reporting on. Chairperson, maybe just to say, currently, for those who will be here just for now and not know the full picture, currently these targets are achieved. Currently, we are at 95%, 90%, 90%, 90%, except for maybe one, that is LFT, that we are struggling with, which is getting attention. But otherwise, currently, we are achieving in this financial year. Now, Chairperson, the rest, under improvement of productivity, we have achieved all of them. Analytical staff productivity, as measured by the workforce model, pre-analytical staff productivity, as measured by the, what are we using here? The same workforce model, the turnaround analytical registration rate, as measured by the laboratory information system. These have been achieved in the financial year. Chairperson, we continue to achieve the implementation of the optimization model for laboratory service delivery as measured by the laboratory information system, etc. on that page. That is achieved. The last bullet talks about functional monitoring and evaluation unit. The person is there in my office, Chairperson. On increasing the number of laboratories that are accredited at academic level, we failed to achieve the 88% that we targeted for the financial year 15-16. We only achieved 84%. At regional level, the target was very low, therefore, indeed, it was achieved at 39%. Chairperson, the laboratory service continues. The development of software, I'll only talk about those that are not achieved. The architecture, there is a bit of maybe confusion, but I would like to explain. The first one talks about the enterprise architecture developed and implemented. The architecture was not developed, so it's put on hold. The second one talks about the enterprise architecture review committee. The committee is in place. So I know the annual report may be a bit misleading there because only the acronym was put in place, EAR and ARC. So that is, I'm just explaining what we meant there, Chairperson. The partially achieved was the ECM, Enterprise Content Management. We are busy rolling it out now because of it of its importance. This was, Chairperson, if I may report, an attempt to remedy the situation where NHLS was found wanting for not keeping the request form. So the electronic content management system is to remedy that shortfall. It's partially achieved, but it's being addressed going forward. The pilot, what is this now? Identify management risk and governance management solution rollout for all critical business systems is also partially achieved. Chairperson, the rest are achieved under AQUA or items listed there are achieved. I'll basically just leave it there. If there are questions, I'll address them so that we move to human resource management. 242 registrars and 27 in 10 medical scientists were trained on the NHLS training platform, 15-16 financial year. The pattern for the number of trainees on the platform is similar to that of the previous year. There are graphics that would illustrate that. NHLS has introduced a central recruitment process for intern medical scientists. 50 intern medical scientists will be appointed this financial year. The process is on, Chairperson. 22 intern medical scientists were appointed in 2015-16. I can just share with members that the number of interns is now the total that we have, 253. This shows this is a comparison of scientists versus registrars. Obviously, we have far much more registrars than scientists. And this is a breakdown that shows again the newly qualified registrars versus the newly qualified intern medical scientists. Chairperson, the registrars are broken down per race. This slide talks about the financial year 20 we're tracking from 2010-11 to 2015-16 to see what was happening on the number of registrars per race. Chairperson, we see a growth on the African registrars starting 64 going to 104 15-16.
we also see what I will note as a stable number, that is when it comes to Asians. It's almost stable in the 40%. We're seeing a slight decline, but almost stable from 2012-13 to 15-16 on the white register. The worrying number is on the colored population, where in the financial year we're only reporting 3. That's very worrying, Chairperson. I'll do further homework to establish what could be the contributing factor. The number of intern scientists are also categorized per race, and here, Chairperson, there is reason to really worry. One will go into understanding what is happening. The profession does not seem to be attractive anymore to all categories. They are no more interested. We can see the number of African students has dropped from as high as 36 to 9 and then a bit of 17 now. So it's an area where we'll need to find out what's going on. Chairperson, I won't bother you with the details on the slide that allude to other countries attending courses in the NHLS, just to say that we are living to our vision of being South African Center, Africa's Center of Excellence. So training courses are conducted by NHLS, and this is evidence of number of participants from other African countries. Chairperson, I can just indicate that on the ACUT, which is African Center for Laboratory Training, etc., it's been handed over to NHLS, so it's fully under NHLS. And NHLS will continue. This is an initiation of the Center for Disease Control. NHLS will continue to empower other African countries under acute resources allowing, of course. Under equity target and employment equity status, Chairperson, we're not doing bad at all. There is room for improvement, but we're not doing that bad versus our target. I will take questions as they are raised. On the employment equity female status to date, we are not very far off the target. I think we left one in the previous financial, in the 15-16. As I'm talking now, I think we are covered with the appointment of the CIO. Chairperson, on employment equity for people with disabilities, that's where we a bit far. In fact, we are far from the target. When we look at the male status, 6 out of a target of 22. And on females, we have exceeded our target, but the targets are also, I'm not sure, out of a staff complement of about 7,000, and we're talking 22. I just feel there is room for improvement. Chairperson, I don't want to dwell into the vacancies. We have received information from the Department of Health to try not to increase the headcount because of the lack of resources countrywide. So we are encouraging people that you only appoint where there is dire need. Don't just fill vacant posts. So thank you, Chair. I want to hand over to the CFO, who will take us through the financial management.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll start with the statement of financial position, which we call balance sheet, with a list of our with a list of our assets, liabilities, and net assets. Chairperson, our financial position as at the end of March 2016 was stronger than the position of prior financial year. The current assets, they grew from 3.6 billion to 3.9 billion. Total asset amounting to 4.5 billion compared to 4.1 billion in the previous financial year. Our liabilities in total, Chairperson, amounted to 2.6 billion, giving us an excess of asset over the liabilities of 1.9 billion, which is a position which is stronger than the position we reported in the previous financial year. The financial position at 31st of March 2016, Chairperson, is an indication that our organization will continue to provide laboratory services as a going concern entity. This has been demonstrated by the mid-year result of the new financial year, whereby the financial position of the entities have actually grew stronger and stronger. And if you look at the composition of our assets, most of our assets are liquid, which form the majority. We're talking about of the total of 4.5 billion, we are saying that 3.9 billion is actually liquid assets, of which 738 million relates to the bank account. Chairperson, I'll move on to the statement of financial position, which is an income and expenses statement. We have already alluded, Chairperson, that compared to last year, our revenue grew by 1 billion from 5.7 billion to 6.4 billion. And then if we look at productivity in terms of what it costed us to deliver those services or to generate that revenue, in relative terms, we actually incurred a smaller percentage of input compared to the previous financial year. Hence, we are reporting a net surplus of 279 million compared to 179 million in the previous financial year. Chairperson, I'll move on to the next slide, which is a statement of cash flow. Reflected on the first line, Chairperson, we collected 1 billion more than what we collected in the previous financial year. In the current financial year, we collected 5.7 billion, mainly from provinces as a result of delivering goods and services, which relates to laboratory tests. Compared to last year, we reported a figure of 4.7 billion. Chairperson, we also outlining in terms of how the money was utilized, 2.5 billion was used for employee cost, and 3.2 billion was used to pay suppliers who delivered goods and services. In terms of our net balance, Chairperson, our bank account grew by 65 million compared to a deficit of 23 million in the previous financial year. As a result, as it has already been highlighted, our bank account at the end of the financial year was at 738 million compared to 651 million in the previous financial year. Thank you.
Challenges experienced during the year. We're saying as much as the year was award-winning, the organization had its fair share of challenges, which include the reward and remuneration project was a challenge. It did not only consume a lot of time, it demanded a lot of effort.
The other challenge, Chairperson, is that the value of grants administered by the NHLS grant office decreased by 2.5% due to long-term grant awards coming to an end and others being in the final phase and ending in the first quarter of the new financial period. Chairperson, the other challenge we are experiencing is the rotation of staff in the early infant diagnosis units in hospitals because as we train this group, then the new group come without knowledge. So there is really need for ongoing training in that area. Now, plan for the future, Chairperson. It is our dream that all our labs should be SANAS accredited, and we are working very hard to realize that dream. We want to achieve the ISO 9001 certification for the entire National Health Laboratory Service. The reasoning behind is that you can only talk quality when you have evidence to show for the quality, and that is through accreditation and certification. We want to continue to improve on financial performance. We also want to improve operational efficiency. We're talking continuous improvement over improvements. We also want to continue to be the benchmark of excellence in Africa and the rest of the world. Chairperson, to this I need to say that we will be hosting the African Society for Laboratory Medicine here in Cape Town, conference here in Cape Town in December. It's normally held every second year. In 2014 they were here. So we will be hosting that conference again. And we are participating, I'm personally participating in all ASLM activities and fora where I'm invited. I was in Namibia about 3 weeks or so back, where there were other 10 African countries. So to benchmark and see how we can work together. We also want to increase investment in training and skills development, ACILT included. We want to increase our investment in infrastructure development. Chairperson, in conclusion, NHLS has had a lot of challenges, and we think we have emerged much, much stronger than before. The renewal of the organization is starting to deliver solid results, as seen on the report. We are well positioned to continue being a major player in the field of laboratory medicine in the rest of the African continent and other countries. We will continue to work with government to deliver public health services to citizens. We are controlled by Department of Health policies and guidelines. We are not operating in solo. We will continue to consolidate our position as the benchmark of excellence in Africa. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ms. Mokale, for the report. Safe to say that the unfortunate part is that the document is not numbered, so we have to, I think I must just say the upfront just from members. So, but we'll manage to indicate on the basis of the headings that I gave. Honorable members, there is the report. Questions, clarities, comments?
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I'll start by thanking the presentation, though you have indicated the issue of numbering, but it is really enriching us. It was a good presentation. However, Chairperson, good as it is, we will want to a little bit talk to it. I'll start by commending the department with regard to filling all the key positions, and to also congratulate them on winning the prestigious award, but to further ask to what are the benefits for winning such an award. My first question, Chair, is with regard to the presentation that in 2014-15 the staff left in large numbers. I want to check with them as to whether they have investigated the reason for leaving, and or have you now developed a retention strategy to ensure that such exodus never happen. The second issue, Chairperson, it's with regard the unqualified audit that they received from the AG. We applaud it, but with reservations. We know that you also know that what we are striving for is a clean audit. When are you going to achieve that? But what I want to know is as to whether you have reported some irregular expenditure in there. My question will be, is there internal audit in your department? If yes, how effective is internal audit? If it is there and effective, the advices, are they taken seriously by yourself so that at the end of the day, we go to clean audit? Are you taking them seriously? The other issue is clarity with regard to the closing balance of 739 million. Can you clarify what you mean with me? I don't know what you mean. Is it the money that's left at the end of the year? And to also ask you, are you profit-driven? The last question is, how do you reconcile your cost curtailment in improving services? Since you, in your opening, you indicated that you are servicing 80% of the population. What is going to happen? What are your plans to ensure that that 20% is also covered? Since you see, I think I'm seeing money there. I also just, you know, this is just coming from my mind that the 20% might be in rural, deep rural areas. So let us try to ensure that we cover them. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. I have to echo my colleague, Honourable Kosa. I think that there have been some significant achievements this year. And we certainly do owe you a congratulations, not just for your awards, but also for internally some of the things you've done, launching your values. And it seems that you've made an effort for those values to be owned broadly within the organization and not imposed, which is really good. And the other thing, of course, is moving towards your equity targets. So congratulations are in order. But again, like my colleague, I have a number of concerns. I think the first concern is with regards to your work towards the PISA. You know, that is a huge and seismic shift for us, in particularly in your sector. And it's a very difficult change management process that's ahead. And so whilst the bill has gone out for public comment and obviously will appear before this committee in the near future, what processes have you initiated internally within the organization to help people through this turbulent time? Because I'm sure there's lots of uncertainty. People aren't too sure what the future holds. So what kind of change management strategies or plans have you started developing or have you implemented already
both within your organization, also looking forward in terms of how, you know, structurally you're going to transition into NAPISA, or the NAPISA entities will go from the NHLS. The second question is with regards to your performance and program form. With regards to the lab services, I'm a little bit on page 32 in the annual report. It obviously details what you have in your presentation. I'm a little bit concerned about some of the points that were raised. Firstly, thank you for clarifying that, in fact, it's not the staff shortages and those other issues, but it's, in fact, the unrealistic targets, because that's one of the first questions it's going to ask is, you know, why obviously in the report it says one thing and the presentation it says the other. But I want to challenge you a bit with regards to this comment of unrealistic targets. Firstly, you know, when you set the targets, we all approve it, and so that's the game post, and so you can't change the game post in the middle of the game. And so the question is, how are those targets set? What benchmarks were used? Were they historical benchmarks? Were they private sector benchmarks, international benchmarks? And then secondly, I would argue that they may not all be too high, because if you look at your turnaround time for TV microscopy, you missed it only by 4%, and then for CD4 only by 1%. So that doesn't seem unachievable. For the others, obviously there are concerns, but I want to particularly draw your attention to the last one on cervical screening or smear. You know, we're trying very hard to tackle the issue of cervical cancer through the HPV vaccine initiative, for example, and through many other initiatives. So it's important that there's a continuum of intervention. Cervical smears are critical in that process. And so when you're only hitting 48%, that is very concerning. And even 70% is a very low target. So generally, I think that some of these targets could be adjusted, although the initial one, the first two, I think could remain, but that the cervical smear one makes me very worried. Can you please speak to that? Then with regards to the issues around the Auditor General, it's great that we have unqualified audits, but the findings are concerning, and in particular, if you look at the AG's the findings, and I'll read it out to you because I need answers on these individual points. The material findings were reported, this is quoting the report, on compliance with legislation as follows. One, material misstatements were identified in the annual financial statements submitted for audit. And two, the entity did not take effective steps to prevent irregular expenditure. So can you please speak to both of those points? Because I think it's important that we get clarity there. And then finally, a few weeks ago, we had presentations by both KZN and Gauteng. So we had presentations by MEC's Lomore and Mahlangu, respectively. And we were told by the KZN team that there is money that they owe the NHLS, right? And by Gauteng that there is money owed to them by the NHLS. And we're talking about billions, in fact. And it's obviously concerning because, again, we have a custodial role, and we want to ensure the NHLS remains solvent and functions. And so what's the latest? We've gotten updates from the department and obviously from the individual provincial departments, but as the main entity involved, can we get an update from you, please? Thank you.
Honourable Ndaba.
Thanks, Chair. I think some of my questions that I wanted to raise, my colleagues have covered me, especially with the monies owed by NHLS to Gauteng, and the money that NHLS was saying KZN is owing it. After the meeting that we had with the two provinces, when they were presenting to us as the portfolio committee chair, I'm covered by Honorable Volmik. And then, Chair, I think I've got my other question, Chair, which a concern is with regards to Program 3 and Program 4, the underperformance there. I'm not sure whether CEO, when she was saying some of the targets now will be met or are met, she was trying to explain on these two programs. Because as I, in terms of percentages, Chair, they are at 45%, which is worrisome. So maybe if she can clarify on why at this percentage. And my other worrying, my other concern, Chair, is with regards to the training. The core on slide, it is core professionals in training, vital sets, number of intern scientists by race on NHLS training platform 2009 to 2015-16. When you look at that graph, Chair, it's worrisome. It's like we are no longer getting people who have got an interest, as she was explaining. And I'm not even sure if we are leaving this thing like this, Chair. I'm worried when if we'll be having people will be doing this job during NHI, and when the years are proceeding. My question is about what strategy or plans do they have as the NHLS to ensure that they attract students from high schools so that they can have interest of studying in this field, because there is no way, Chair, that we'll leave this thing like this. We know but we have a concern of HIV, TB, and so on, etc., etc. So if we're not going to recruit and have people to train on this field, that means then we'll have a serious crisis. My other comment, Chair, is to congratulate the CEO that now she has been appointed permanent. I think that was our worry, that she was acting, and if she's appointed, then permanent, we are fine. I think the issue of staff, it has been cleared.
Thank you, Chair. Let me first start by emphasizing what she has just said about the ratio between registrars and scientist interns. That does not make sense. We had a way, way, way disproportionate number, and then all of a sudden all those numbers went down drastically from 104 to 17 registered trainee, and from 76, 44 to 3 and 7, it really is worrisome. It means that you are no more recruiting, and or at least people are no more coming to train, and so it's going to jeopardize the NHI program going forward. So that everything you are doing is in preparation for NHI. But if you are neglecting this particular aspect, then we are going to find that there are no skilled workers to carry on. That is that. And the others who have been covered, but there is something here also which does not show that we are beginning to win. Our demographics as well are very skewed. Okay, before there were many blacks. There is a shift going towards more blacks being employed than any other group. Maybe, like she said, the job is no more enticing to them, but we must find out what makes them not to want to do this type of job when previously there were high numbers in that. So it's skewed again. Although it seems that there are more blacks employed, but on the average, when you look at the figures, they are declining. I mean, there are fewer people involved, although blacks are maybe marginally higher, but there are fewer people employed, especially registered in your name. So how did you resolve that one? Maybe it's very interesting to us. Of course, the other question is some programs that you are involved in have no indicators, or the indicators are either not specific, not measurable, not time-bound, or verifiable. Maybe it is because you changed the game or the goalpost along the line, but that does not mean you don't have to take care of it. Please note that, and next time be cognizant of that fact. You have incurred some irregular expenditure. On average, you are far, far, far ahead of what you were the last time we met you. In fact, we were scared to meet you again, thinking that, man, if you bring the same thing, we may have to go back, to ask you to go back and correct yourself here and there. But, you know, yeah, out of maybe 100%, we will give you 90-something. From 5 to 90-something, maybe 95, that means it's a tremendous leap forward. So if you keep on this way, except that if you don't correct these figures of recruiting, it will mean that you are not doing anything, so you are saving the money. So that's why you have a lot of money in reserve, because you are not paying anything. Because this is going to defeat the gains you have made, which are commendable. Because then, at the end of the day, we are going to ask you, we have been giving you money, where are the people who are going to be paid with that money, because you are not recruiting. So just correct that little bit of irregular expenditure, and make sure that you are 100% compliant. Okay, I think maybe let's stop there. The rest is just going to
thank you very much. I think just want to again on the issue of recruitment. I'm going to come on a different angle. It is no more, because now everything is open. Learners are allowed to go in any field of work. Now, health, in going into health sector, is no more fashionable. Remember that at some point, at some time in this country, to be a nurse, to be a doctor, to be a somebody's phone, and I don't want to take people out of the meeting. Whoever's phone has been on, please, because it's just coming from that country. I don't want to. Okay, I apologize. It is no more fashionable. They are doing what is called they're doing all the things. They are researchers, they are journalists, they are exposed in a number of skills that they didn't talk that they will be exposed to. Which, when we were persuaded at some point to do those, we thought that no, they were for, those skills were for a particular race and gender. I want to make an emphasis on this, because it's very important of what Honorable Ndaba said. With the challenges that we are having, I think as a leadership, go out there, go to the students, to learners, before they write their grade letters. Check
check there who have got a potential, who have got an interest of this, and explain to them what NHLS is all about and what is the importance of NHLS in the country, in the world, in people, in themselves, their communities. Because if we don't do that, we are going to have a problem. It's been said that we've got a youth that is not employable, because they are doing studies that are in abundance. They are doing public administration. It's not that public administration is not important. It's not that being a social worker is not important. It's not, but they are doing some of, now we will have to, I'm raising this because we must understand that as we are moving towards the National Health Insurance, we are trying to address a history that as health activists, we are not going to be apologetic and be afraid to talk about. Obviously, we can never be stuck on our history, but what then our history, what are the lessons that we are to draw from? So I do think that institutions, scientists, they like to be in their own cocoon. Go out of that, get out of that cocoon. Go to, as we have said, that there are learners, there are people out there who have these skills. You want to ensure that, but go take an extra mile, challenge it. That's why my question, the thing, my emphasis, our learners, do they understand what National Laboratory Service is about? It can't be dependent on educators. It depends on institutions of your nature and you as people that have got those expertise. I thought it's important that I make an emphasis on that. You haven't given us a breakdown. Is it possible to give us a breakdown of grants given to universities? And to what extent as NHLS has tried to work with the previously disadvantaged universities? To what extent has the National Health Laboratory Services tried to work with the previously disadvantaged universities? We were asking that question because, and we're correcting that history. As this committee, that is why the issue of transformation for us is very important. We always labor on that. But we see that you have made some strides, but they've got a potential of being wiped off. Is that science, math, was at some point told government at a particular time that never teach a black child maths and science. So I'm saying when we are to, yes, we'll be critical, but we are not going to be apologetic to say the reason that we become critical, the reason that we make emphasis is because we are addressing a history that we want to say, in our lifetime, we want to leave a legacy of disadvantaged, but that balance, encourage every young person, irrespective of class, race, and gender, but worse with those that are coming from disadvantaged areas, that these studies are not studies that are only for, for the fact that science was for white, male, rich. That is why if you can go to NHLS, maybe that is beginning to, I know for a fact, I'm a former health worker where I trained, think that this is a no-go area for a we don't want you to take that in a more negative light, but it's about how then do we ensure that there is that balance. So that's why an emphasis on the truth. We will break for
I was just checking my documents. You know, Chair, I want to package what I'm going to raise now with regards to the questions that we have all raised regarding training. If you remember, Chair, I think it was last year, there was a question that we raised to NHLS regarding the examination board, which was the main cause which was frustrating students not to pass their exams, even when students were saying it's the job that they are doing every day. So sometimes it becomes impossible, and they don't even want to accept that they fail that board examination because they don't know their work or they don't know their theory of practical. But there was something, in fact, even yourself, CEO, you had a consent. But I think in that meeting, we said as the portfolio committee, maybe let's give you that responsibility to ensure that there is transformation with regards to the board. But I'm sure, Chair, you know, sometimes as politicians, I think we make mistakes. We take all responsibility and make the admin staff to account. We don't make the board to account in terms of a transformation agenda. So most of the time, it's not the board that come and account to the portfolio committee, but the administration is the one that come and account. And sometimes we just take them as one body instead of us as politicians separating them, making boards to account on their core business and their mandate as boards. That's why, Chair, the issue of our transformation agenda will never be realized until we as politicians, we make all the boards across the board that they must account, rather than us concentrating on the admin to account and the board, they are there, but they are getting money. They are being paid big money, Chairperson, but you don't make them to come and account. Thank you, Chairperson.
We will break for tea. Allow yourself, Chairperson, Deputy Chair of the Board, and the CFO and the CEO to divide and see who is to respond to what. It depends on you. We'll just break for tea, just to allow yourself to sort out, and then we come and give you a time to respond. Thank you very much.
Thank you.